A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
It will be the movie show in about a half hour. That opening surprised me just a little bit there because we have set up something a little unique and special for the first half hour of the program. Welcome to the unfolding events of the day. We'll be keeping you right up to date on the aftermath of the earthquake. Hopefully we won't have much news to give you on that. But also the coronavirus, that is a big, big deal in our country. But the movie show will officially start at 9:30. So why are we delaying the movie show? Because, as you know, we only do that for really big things. But John Swallow over here laughing about that. Yesterday, I got a phone call from KSL. By the way, we are broadcasting from my home right now. It's being affectionately called KSL East by everybody at the station. We've tried to separate everybody out in self-protection and also trying to really underscore the importance of us all being so, so careful and have social distancing while, as Mayor Mendenhall said, having some social grace along with that. But we are broadcasting from my home today. And yesterday I got a phone call from the station, and they said, hey, what do you know about John Swallow running again for the Attorney General? And they caught me when I was out on the road, and I said, I know nothing, but I will maybe in a moment. And I called John Swallow. He was kind enough to take my call, and we were discussing this. And I thought, well, why don't we have you on the program and kick this off? You and I have had not years long, but almost decades long conversations, you know, going back to the day when you were in the state legislature, back to when you ran for Congress, when you first ran for Attorney General, and then when you resigned as Attorney General, through that whole process, right up to, I can remember it was on a movie show, as a matter of fact, at the Megaplex Theaters years ago. When you had stepped down from the office. We were also on a movie show when you were exonerated, and we had quite an interesting broadcast with you and others at that time.
With the Burt Brothers.
At Burt Brothers, that's right.
Wendell Burt.
That's right. Wendell Burt was there, and then I can remember the conversation we had not that long ago, just last fall, mm-hmm. when you won the case and had some reimbursement for considerable costs for legal representation. And here we are talking about you running for Attorney General again. First of all, I'm going to ask the classic question, and I'm sure everybody is wondering about this. Why? Why are you running again for Attorney General?
Well, that is the million-dollar question, Doug, because 2 months ago I would have told you you were crazy if you suggested that I would run for Attorney General again, especially this quickly. You know, it's been 3 years since I was exonerated. It's been 8 years since I was elected. And 7 years since I stepped down to clear my name. And my wife and I had basically planned on doing other things with our lives. I'm a partner in a law firm. We're very successful. Things are going great for us. But, you know, as I was sitting watching the Trump impeachment hearings and seeing what was happening and just looking back on the last 3 years of the Trump administration, since the day he was put into office, people in government have tried to interfere with his work. Now, listen, I have my concerns with a lot of the idiosyncrasies, I could say, in a very nice way, president, right?
Yeah,
but
right.
At the end of the day, he was elected to do something special, and that's what we do when we're elected to office. We have a vision and we have a mission that we feel personally called to, and that's how I felt about my, you know, election to Attorney General. And so when I saw that happening, it was very familiar to everything that had happened to me. I mean, you know, the first week I'm in office, these false allegations, now proven false allegations, started coming out. And it was like someone was trying to interfere with the election and with my role as Attorney General and the vision that I had for the state. And so as we sat there 2 months ago and I watched that unfold, feelings started to come that, you know, there's a problem that's bigger than me that's happening in our country with the weaponization of allegations and people now using allegations to interfere with government processes. And it happened here in Utah with me. It's happened in Washington with Donald Trump. It's happened in other places as well. And is there something that I can do as a person on the inside with a voice to have serious reform in these areas? And as I thought about it and pondered about it, and I told Suzanne, you know, it's going to take an earthquake, basically, to get me to decide to do this. And
right,
then the
right
day
there.
Before I announced, there we go, there's an earthquake.
Well, before we talk, and you and I have had some interesting conversations on air and off air, honestly, about the power of prosecutors. And,
right.
And we'll get into that in just a few moments. But back to the decision-making, I'm always intrigued under any circumstances, because many of us have toyed with it. I have not done it. I've toyed with it. You've done it. And so many others have done it, too. And I'm always interested in the tipping point. Was this a build-up, you know, just after the exoneration, after the relief last fall, of realizing that you wouldn't be killed and buried in
debt
because of the prosecution? Was it a slow march toward this, or was it an epiphanal moment? Was it the Donald Trump trial in the Senate that did it?
You know, it really was. This was not on my radar. In fact, I interviewed on Three Questions with Bob Evans about 4 months ago.
Right.
And he asked me the question, and I said, it's not in my plans. And it wasn't in my plans. Frankly, people may not believe this, but I kind of am a peaceful, quiet-loving person who really kind of doesn't like the limelight, and people will not believe that. And so to get back into the forest fire of this and to face the questions and the controversy that people would have, because some people don't even know I was acquitted. They don't know I was exonerated. And so my hurdle in this race, we know very well, as an experienced campaigner, is going to be getting past that. And I know my opponents will say, well, he wasn't really innocent. And I say, wait, I had 6 proceedings that went my way. I was compensated $1.5 million by the state for my fees. The bar cleared me on any ethics concerns. A jury acquitted me on all the charges. They spent $5 million trying to find something in a society where they can sneeze and come up with something they can convict someone on. And it's just ridiculous. So I want to talk about what my vision is going forward, which compelled me and my family to say, notwithstanding all of this, all the risk, the flaming fires, this is so important to us. It's something that we understand, that my job as a candidate will be to help delegates and primary voters understand something wrong that's in America and in the state that we can fix.
One thing we talked about on the phone yesterday, because I asked about this, and before we went on the air here today, there was such relief, obviously, there would be for anybody.
Right.
Regardless of what the charges were and what the circumstances were.
Right.
But as you mentioned, to kind of peacefully, you know, go back into a real life and real family life, a real job, make money again without all of these burdens. Is this going to be like ripping the Band-Aid off again? And because, you know, and we won't wallow in this, but as you've already alluded to, there are people that don't even know you were exonerated, and there probably are still some people that go, yeah, well, he just dodged a bullet.
Well, I would have to dodge a machine gun, actually, because there were so many things coming at me, and I believe they were all politically manufactured. And I think now that people have gone through the Donald Trump experience, they can see what people can do in politics to manufacture allegations against someone. Now, no one thinks Donald Trump is a perfect person. And I would hope that people would hold me in a different light and many issues than the president. But we can see what people can do. I mean, Brett Kavanaugh, remember when he was nominated and what they did to him, and the thing that they almost didn't confirm him over was the fact that something that no one could prove about something that may have happened when he was a junior in high school.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that what you do as a junior in high school is any excuse. But I'm just saying that that's how divided America is on these allegations.
Do you know how goofy I was in junior high school, John? I don't want to be held accountable for anything I did in junior high school.
No, exactly right.
We're going to take a brief break, and when we come back, I want to delve into some of the things and that you're anticipating, party support, and you're going to be going through the caucus convention system, which is turned on its ear this year. I mean, there's never been anything like it. It's too late to gather signatures and so on. So I want to talk about the strategy, but I also want to get into your concerns about the powers, the accountability of prosecutors. Can we do that when we come back?
Love to do it.
All right. Broadcasting from what is affectionately known now as KSL East, up here at my home in Holiday, Utah. We're talking with John Swallow, who has announced that he is running for Attorney General of the great state of Utah. It's 9:15. Movie show will begin just after our news break at 9:30. So stay with us here at KSL News Radio.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
9:20 here at KSL News Radio, and movie show will get underway here in about 10 minutes. John Swallow is my guest this morning, and as I indicated, he and I over now many, many years, even decades, have had a lot of different conversations. And when I heard that, John, you had announced and registered, and you're all set to run for Attorney General again, I have to admit I was mildly curious. And let's talk about the process here. Because we're on a fairly short leash here. We're, you know, a lot of people have been working on their campaigns, various campaigns now, for 6 months, even a year, and you know how this stuff goes better than I do, certainly. What's the plan here as you run? What has to happen in order for you to, you mentioned to me a moment ago, you've never run for an office you didn't intend to win, but there are also other things about running, messages and so on.
Right. So the process is, none of us in this race on the Republican side have elected to go the ballot, the signature ballot route. So this is going to come down to, you know, which two of the two candidates, if any, can survive the convention and go on to the primary.
Right.
So really the next 30 days is about contacting delegates and getting your message before them and convincing them that you're the right candidate.
And boy, as we have talked about, this is a unique animal this year. You've had a lot of experience with caucus convention. Mm-hmm. And have been very successful at that in the past, certainly getting to, you know, some major races
right. And
winning major races.
Right.
But this one is going to be very unique and the leash is short. While we still have some time, this has been an ongoing point that you have brought up with me and others whenever you've had that opportunity, is your concern about the prosecutorial powers that we have in our country, here locally, how it has affected you and others. What would you like the folks to know about that? You and I have had a lot of conversations about this.
Right, Doug. And I appreciate that lead-in because it really comes down to, you asked me a question about why I'm running. And it really comes down to people understanding what the role of the Attorney General is. And so there are implementers and then there are leaders and visionaries. I see myself as a visionary. I see the person who's holding the office right now as an implementer. He's a person who grows out his beard, goes down to South America, and gets in on sting operations for sex trafficking. There's nothing wrong with fighting sex trafficking, right? That's a problem globally, right? But here in Utah, we have issues that we need to take care of, and one of those is the overabundance of power of a prosecutor. And I want to read just one little quick little quote here
okay. That
will put this in context for your listeners. This is a quote by Justice Jackson, Robert Jackson, given in 1949 to U.S. attorneys across the country. He's a Supreme Court justice and U.S. Attorney General. He said, "The prosecutor has more control over the life, liberty, and reputation than any other person in America."
Wow.
He's not talking about a president or a senator or a governor. He says, "His discretion is tremendous. He can have citizens investigated. The prosecutor can order arrests, present cases to the grand jury in secret session, and on the basis of his one-sided presentation of facts can cause the citizen to be indicted and held for trial."
Yeah.
When I was Attorney General, my vision was protecting teenagers who were in schools, and I came up with a vision that I basically stole from Colorado but wanted to improve it. We call it now Safe UT. And that was to create a mechanism for teenagers in school, if they saw a problem at school, a violence issue at school, a bullying issue at school, or a suicide-type issue at school, they would be able to anonymously contact a helpline and get the help they need immediately. Senator Dan Thatcher, once I introduced this into Utah, my vision of this, took it and ran with it and did a great job with this. But that was a legacy that I left because of vision. Here, if I became the Attorney General, I'd focus on something that's very important. That's government power. And the two things I would do right off the bat is, the first thing I would do is I would hire an investigator in a new division I would create in the Attorney General's office called the Public Protection Division. what I would do is have that person investigate any complaint by any citizen or any business of the abuse of government power by people in a bully position in the state that are going after individuals or businesses unjustly. Right now, I believe there's a propensity for people in positions of power. You know what they say about power? It corrupts, right? And absolute power corrupts absolutely. The second thing I would do is deal with prosecution reform, because like Justice Jackson said, the most important person in America with the most discretion and no accountability is the prosecutor. And he goes on to say things like, the problem with a prosecutor is if he can get away with it, he can pick people he wants to prosecute rather than cases to prosecute. And that's where his prosecution power becomes very, very damaging to people. Now, I understand that. My family understands that because we went through that. I went through a political prosecution, and I was exonerated, fortunately for me. But everywhere in America, it's happened here and happens other places. Prosecutors with no accountability are able to make decisions, and then when the case is finished and there's a wreckage on the runway and the person's even acquitted, the prosecutor simply wipes his hands and says, oh, well, that's the process.
At this point, is there any recourse at all other than, as you did, suing for the expenses associated with your defense? Is there any way to get more justice?
There's not unless you change things, and that's what I want to go and do. What I want to do is I want to implement accountability measures for prosecutors where we have random audits of prosecutions. So a prosecutor now would know, hey, I can't get away with a politically motivated prosecution because John Swallow, the Attorney General, or some independent board is where I would like to be at, will come in and investigate these prosecutions and ensure that there's accountability and a consequence if a politician prosecutor uses his position to hurt someone so he can elevate himself. And it happened in North Carolina just a few years ago. It happened in my case. I believe it happened in the Mark Shirtlift case. I believe it happened to Sean Cowley, the detective in West Valley, who in 2014 was charged just a month before we were by the same DA running for re-election, and the judge threw the case out at a preliminary hearing where it takes just bare evidence to get a case to go to trial. So prosecutors are doing this in Utah. They're doing this nationally. And if we don't hold prosecutors with the most important power of anyone in America accountable, then we're going to see weaponization of prosecutions like we've never seen before. And that's the vision that I bring to the Attorney General's office.
The Attorney General's office, and I've heard you, and I've been fortunate to know attorneys general all the way back to Mr. Wilkinson, but it's a huge job. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, you're talking about the vision, you're talking about the things you want to do. What if somebody said, I wonder if John's going to be too focused on kind of what happened to him and kind of making that right while he's in charge of the largest law firm in the state.
Right, right. So I think that's where it comes down to vision. So like I said, the job of an attorney general with vision is to protect Utahns, right? So I have three things I would focus on. Number one, protecting Utah from federal encroachment because we're a sovereign nation state, right? Not a nation, but a sovereign state, right? We have states' rights. Secondly, protecting people in Utah from crime, which means we have a robust criminal justice system, we have very able prosecutors, and we go after crime hard with strong blows, but not with foul blows. And then thirdly, we have this accountability measure. Now, this accountability measure would be part of my vision, but I understand it better because of what I've gone through. It's not that I'm after anybody. It's that I'm after the checks and balances that this country was founded on have to apply to the prosecutor. And I would put those same accountability measures on myself as the chief prosecutor. In other words, if I were to ever use my position in a way that would abuse my power, I would expect to be equally accountable. Mm-hmm. and have a consequence that I would expect anybody else to have. And it's something that needs to be done. And I'm very interested. And you say maybe I'd be biased about it. No, my eyes were opened to a problem I never could have imagined. In fact, I think that if I were to be successful here, I would see real purpose in what I went through, because had I not gone through this, I would not have recognized the problem we really have in this country.
John, unfortunately, we only have about a minute left, and we'll look for opportunities on the KSL-TV Sunday morning show in the future to chat with you more there. But what would you like the folks to know as you move forward on this very short leash in this strange election season that we are in, where everything has been turned topsy-turvy, including the very familiar caucus convention system that you are very familiar with? How can people get more information about you? What would you like them to know at this point?
Well, my website's up at www.johnswallow.com, and they can look at that for my issues and what's important to me. But I want people to know that this was a very serious decision that our family made, and that we would not have done this unless we recognized issues that are part of my vision that would compel our family to come out of the safe cove we were in and go back into the forest fire, because there was something in that fire that was worth saving. And I'm excited to connect with the delegates, share this vision. And I'm so grateful that I've been exonerated. I left for only one reason, to clear my name. And having cleared my name, we felt like there was really no reason to not go back in if I still had that vision of making Utah the greatest state in our country.
One quick thing. You touched on it here, and we'll get to our news in just a second. Our Sean Michael Lyle is standing by. But in many of the news reports this morning, it's read basically that driven from office, or, you know, resigned under pressure, things like that. You and I have talked about their resignation the day it happened and several times since. Describe why. Why did you resign?
Well, remember, when I first started coming under attack for false allegations, you and I had a conversation, and you said, John, what are you going to do if this gets distracting? And what did I tell you back then? I said, I'll do the right thing. And I got to the point in November when the House was very serious, and they were spending all that money, and it was so distracting to the state and to my office, and we were running out of funds, so there were multiple reasons. And I said to my wife, this is not right. We've got to step aside and clear our name privately. In my heart, I was always hoping it would happen quickly and maybe I could come back sooner. Because I got elected because of things I believed in and things I wanted to do. And I didn't get a chance to finish those things that are still important, not just to me, but I believe important to the state of Utah. And that's why I'm so grateful for the opportunity in America if we have to throw our hat in the ring, to talk about the issues and let the voters decide. And I'm excited for that.
Our former Attorney General, John Swallow, joining me here at what we are affectionately referring to as KSL East, my home here in Holiday. John, thank you for sharing your time with us here at KSL. We'll look for other opportunities to chat, and it's great to see you in my home.
You're welcome, and please stay safe, everybody. Take this seriously. Yeah. It's gonna change everything.
And by the way, for those who are wondering, we have staged this, so we're all 6 feet away from one another. We have individual containers for everybody while they're having a drink. We have the Clorox. No, pardon me. These are the Kroger Home Sense disinfecting wipes.
And I've washed my hands twice.
And he's washed his hands twice. I think I'm only at one since you came through the door. So, yes, please, please, please. We're trying to be very careful about that at KSL and at our various locations where we are broadcasting. So be aware of that. 9:33 here at KSL News Radio. Let's take a break.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.